You're listening to 89.1 Grace Christian Radio. Please enjoy a replay of May 7th, 2023 church service with music from Sylvia and the worship team and a message from Pastor Ripley.
Revelations 7. Can't hear? Okay. Revelation 7, 9. After I looked, and behold, the great multitude that no one could count number from every nation, from all the tribes of the people and their languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robe, with palms branches in their hands, and cry out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels who were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures that fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessed, glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might to our God forever. Amen." It says in 17 also here, "For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." You know, last night I was trying to figure out, after I found out I was going to do this, little Brenda, I can't imagine where she is right now. I mean, she could hardly walk, and she was always smiled and happy. And she is now praising the Lord and dancing around. I can't even imagine that. I mean, Frank over here, every once in a while we talk about, I wonder what it's going to be like up there. It's going to be cool. What are we going to do? I just hope I'm not a carpenter up there. Yeah, that wouldn't be good. Anyway, I phoned my youngest son there in San Gudu, and they have sheep, and the fires are all around them. He had 170 sheep, and 10 farmers came with their trailers, and within an hour, they moved them out of there. So that's a good old farmer trick. And then in northern Alberta, in Fairview, where I was raised, fire came in there. Some acreages, one church burned down. And the farmers got together and they hosed all them houses down and none of them burnt. So that's a great thing. We thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord God. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that we can be knitted together like them farmers. Lord God, as Christians, that we can work together. When we see something happen, we will step in there and help them. Lord, we're desperate for you. Lord, what's coming? It's going to be something else. They get fires, they get floods all over BC and in northern Alberta and Saskatchewan. BC's on fire. But Lord God, you're still in the throne and you're still in control. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Every drop. God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing. Forever, O God. Your throne will last forever, O God. You are the King of all kings, and you reign. Lord, we just declare your lordship over heaven and earth, Lord. We just saw a king be coronated in England, but we say you are his king. And we say that you are the king of every single king on the face of this earth. You always have been, and you always will be. You are king. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I approach the throne of glory. Nothing in my hands I breathe, but the promise of existence. Give to you my burden. One of Jesus' name was the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. He was prepared to die for us before we were even thought of. And that's what makes him worthy.
Like many waters roar, matchless and most beautiful. crucified. See the crown of thorns, the nails, his wounded side. He is worthy. Look to the
is the Lamb. Holy. the men sing holy, holy.
Can make their way to Children's Church. All the children can make their way to Children's Church. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. All the children are rushing off, and we have to stay behind. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you could turn with me to Romans chapter 5, and I want to share for a few moments on running with endurance, or keep running the race. Keep running the race. How many know the spiritual walk that we're in, the Christian life, is a race? A race to the end, whenever that end happens. And Gary brought up a lot of things this morning about what's happening, not only in British Columbia, but in Alberta, in which they have declared a state of emergency because of all the fires that are burning. People fleeing their homes, leaving behind all their possessions, everything that they own in their home, and they're able to collect a few things, and off they go. The Bible says that in the last days, there's going to be the beginning of sorrows. And I think we've already seen that and are experiencing it in some way. The things that are happening all around us and all over the world. And so it's easy to get discouraged. How many here have ever gotten discouraged? Can I see your hand? How many here have ever gotten discouraged? There's a few people that didn't lift their hands. I want to see them after the service and find out what their secret is. The longer that we live on this planet, the more times that we experience discouragement and maybe even the feeling of wanting to give up. To throw in the towel. And to say to yourself, you know, why am I putting in all this effort? Nothing seems to be working. Have you ever been in that place spiritually where you've said that to yourself? Nothing seems to be working. It's like my prayers are hitting the ceiling and going nowhere. And we think that tomorrow would be a better day, and it's not. It's a worse day than the one you're experiencing. And God, for some reason, allows us to go through these excruciating, painful times in our lives. God allows it for a purpose and for a reason. Last week, Pastor Raph preached about Jonah. How many know God had a purpose for Jonah being in the whale's stomach? There's always a reason for the things that we go through in life as believers. I don't believe in luck. I believe in providence. So the tendency is, in the midst of difficulties, is to stop running the race. Sometimes it's struggles that we're personally going through. The flesh fighting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. There's things outside and there's things within that we're battling with. Let's be honest this morning. And it doesn't matter how old we get, that battle is still fierce within us. You know, we ask each other, how are you doing? Oh, great. How are you doing? Great. How are you doing? Great. How are you doing? Great. Even in the church we do that. How are you doing? Great. Maybe we should say, do you got an hour to spare? How much time do you got? The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the experience of salvation. You've been justified by faith, and now the barrier between you and God has been removed. Hallelujah. And you can go directly to God in prayer, and He's listening to you. Praise the Lord. Isn't that exciting? But then the tough times come. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Isn't it exciting to serve Jesus? Amen. Do you wake up every morning and say, wow, what a day it is to serve God? And then verse 3 happens. Let's talk about verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. But we also glory in tribulations. Tribulation is more than just a tough day. It's something intense. It's something that you're going through that just takes everything out of you. It's something that you're facing, and in your own flesh, you say to yourself, when will this ever end? Have you ever been there? Thank you for many times. Come on, let's be honest this morning. We cry out to God and we say, Lord, when will this ever end? It doesn't seem to be getting better. It seems to be getting worse. The intensity of it is increasing. But Paul says here, glory in tribulations. How is that possible to be glorying in something that is so intensifying, it's so bewildering? Well, the next part of the verse answers that question. Knowing that tribulation produces something. And it's more than just physical problems like headaches and body aches. There's something spiritual happening in the midst of your greatest tribulation if you'll look up and see what God is doing in the midst of it. I don't know if I'm going to get through this morning. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Just give me the easy path, Lord. God says, no, I'm going to allow you to walk in my footsteps. And part of that is experiencing tribulation and difficulty and testings and tryings. Going through the waters, and we talked about it this morning in Isaiah, and the fires. Spiritual fires. Burning out the dross out of our lives. Perseverance is important. Because we all know someone who's given up. They might even come to church every Sunday, but inside they've given up. They've stopped praying. They've stopped reading their Bibles. They've stopped believing. Somehow they've given up. And if you're here this morning and you've given up, it's time to take back the torch and stand up and say, hallelujah, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to keep marching. Hallelujah. Perseverance produces character. Tribulation, perseverance, and character. And that is what God is after. It's nice to experience the supernatural, and that's not wrong. It's nice to feel the Holy Spirit. And that's not wrong. But ultimately, God's desire is to change your character. Hello? To work in you the character of Christ. You say, well, I'm not perfect. Just look beside you. That person's not perfect either. Person in front of you is not perfect. Person behind you is not perfect. The person four rows behind you, they may be perfect. But God never stops working on us. And the greater the work, the greater the opportunity to be used of God as a mighty vessel. Hallelujah. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. The hope is that God has brought you through before, He can bring you through again. Hallelujah. If God did it before, He can do it again. Praise God. That is the God that we serve today. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in your hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We're not doing this in our own strength. We're doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit. But if through your tribulation you become more patient and more loving and more caring and more compassionate and have more faith and grow, that's what God's after. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. You know, when you can love people that are unlovable, that's when you know you're making progress spiritually. When you can love people that hate you and despise you, that's when you know you're making spiritual progress. Hallelujah. It's not how much of the Bible you can memorize necessarily. It's not how much knowledge you have of God's Word necessarily. But it's the change that's happening on the inside of you. That's what God gets excited about. You think God can get excited? That's what God's after. You see, we've missed that sometimes in Pentecost. We have so much emphasized certain things and not the character traits of the fruit of the Spirit. And then we get in a mess. Hello? We get into a mess. How about if we combine both? The character of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. The inworking of God changing you and the supernatural dimension that God has for every believer. Hallelujah. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? You know what's disappointing about Jonah, Pastor Raph, is he didn't come out at the end of it the way God intended. I don't want to take away from your message. You're going to be preaching on that more, but all that God was doing in Jonah's life and at the end of the book, he still didn't get it. I pray that that would not be us this morning. At the end of our life, we still don't get it. What God is after. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Now, this prize is spiritual rewards at the end of it all. The fullness of all that God has for us as believers. And everyone who competes for the prize. Now listen. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate. Self-controlled. Balanced. Are Are you hearing me this morning? How many know self-control is an amazing work of the Holy Spirit in every believer? The ability to control yourself. I smacked him. I couldn't help it. I remember the first dog I had. What was that dog's name? What? Friendly. Yeah. What kind of dog was it? Beagle. Friendly. Friendly peed everywhere. Friendly peed in the bedroom. Friendly peed in the living room. Friendly peed in the kitchen. Friendly peed at the entryway to going outside. Friendly peed just before you open up the screen door to go outside in the back. He peed there. He peed in the car. He peed in the side of the road. He peed everywhere. I got so frustrated. I gave him away. And he was friendly. But God wanted to teach me patience, self-control. You know, God uses amazing things to teach us stuff, if we'll recognize it. Are you hearing me this morning? God will use almost anyone at any time to teach you something that you need to learn to grow in your walk with God. And self-control is vital. The Bible says, if you're going to compete for the prize, you're going to have to be self-controlled. And notice what it says here. This is the New King James. In all things, everything, you have to be self-controlled. How many know that's not easy? Especially the world that we're living in today. That's not easy. The Bible says, now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. People that are running in the Olympics, those that are competing in sports, are doing it for something that they can feel, that they can take hold of, a crown, a trophy, money, fame. But what we're doing is an eternal crown. That is going to be given to us in the age to come. Therefore, I run thus, confused, not knowing what I'm doing, having no goals in life, no purpose. No, that's not what it says. It says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I, and we don't hear this very often, but I discipline my body. I take up my cross. And I follow him. So it's no longer what I want, it's what God wants. And I'm willing to die to myself so that his will is performed in and through my life. I discipline my body, your physical body, and I bring it into subjection. Hallelujah. You know, what does that really mean? It means I'm not going to let this flesh get in the way of what God wants to do in and through my life. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let my feelings, I'm not going to let what I desire get in the way of what God wants to do in and through my life. And Paul says here, this is so important, because he says, lest when I have preached to others, I myself have become disqualified. So I'm preaching something that I'm not living. Right? I'm declaring something that personally I'm not doing anything about, because I'm letting my flesh be in control. I don't want no response to this morning, but how many here didn't feel like going to church this morning? Okay, I didn't say raise your hand, brother. I said, I don't want no hands. But thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. Set up an appointment. Thank you. Thank him for his honesty this morning. Come on. If we went by our feelings, we wouldn't accomplish anything for God. If we went by all that we feel, we wouldn't be used by God at all. We have to make a decision. Flesh, you're going to church. Flesh, you're going to pray. I'm not talking about in a condemning way or a religious way, but I'm not going to let my flesh hinder the inward desire that's within me to seek God. You know, I don't know how many of you have watched the movie Jesus Revolution. An amazing movie, really. But one of the people in that movie that God used backslid for a period of time. Reports say that, and I'm not going to mention the person, but reports say that he was in the bar on Saturday night and preaching on Sunday morning. Somewhere, someone has to open up and say, you know what? I need help. This is not happening for me. Something is amiss. And I need the delivering power of Almighty God. But the Christian life is not about feelings. It's about faith and action. It's about submitting to the Holy Spirit. It's about putting your life on the altar and saying, Lord, I'm yours. Whatever you ask me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Paul closes off by saying, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. We have to bring everything under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Everything that we are, every struggle that we have, we have to bring it under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and let him work in us. And the key is to keep on running. Hallelujah. Don't stop. No matter how difficult it gets, don't stop running. Keep on running in the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. No matter what you're going through, keep coming to church. Keep coming to Bible study. Say, I don't feel any strength today, but I'm just going to sit here and receive all that God has for me. I don't know what you're going through this morning. But the Holy Spirit is present to help you on this journey. The Holy Spirit is present to help you on this journey. And maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, Pastor David, I feel like giving up. I feel that something is happening in me for which I do not fully comprehend. But I want to run with endurance. I don't want to give up. God is here to help you and to strengthen you in the name of Jesus. Because we all need. You ever see those marathon runners? And there's people on the side with a glass of, I don't know what they're giving them, water, juice. And they just run by. They just run by and they just grab it. They drink it, they throw it away, and they keep running. Yeah. That's what this service is this morning. You're running and we're here today and we're giving you a glass of encouragement. We're giving you a glass of strength from the Holy Spirit. We're giving you something that comes from the heart of God to keep on running the race. Yeah, I need another lap around the church. Let's bow our heads this morning. The glass that I just gave you was a glass of honesty. As every head is bowed this morning in God's presence, I want to ask a simple question. How many here would lift up their hand and say, you know what? I'm going through a time of tribulation and I need prayer this morning. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. How many others? You're going through a time of tribulation. Yes. An intense time. Where you need God to help you. Is there anyone else that would slip up their hand and say, just pray for me? Yes. Yes. There's a lot of hands going up this morning. We're going to take communion. And then we're going to invite you to come. We're going to pray for you this morning. We're going to pray for you this morning. You know, that's scriptural, to pray for one another. But Lord, I just pray right now. Father, I pray that you would just minister to your people. Lord, I pray that as we're running the race, that we would reach out and grab that glass that comes from the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to encourage us, keep on running and to not stop until the race is over. Lord, I pray this morning that your work would be done in every heart and every life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Check, check. Just reminded as we come to the Lord's table that it is a time that the body of Christ is unified. We're unified in this ordinance that the Apostle Paul passed on to the church. And I just think of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, where Paul writes, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you to walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit. Just also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given in accordance to the measure of Christ's gift. So we're unified in the Spirit body of Christ. Amen. And as we come together to remember the death of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we sit in unity with one another and with Him. What a privilege, what a blessing. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 said, "For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's partake together. His body was broken for us. Glory and praise to Jesus the King, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink. We thank you, Lord, for this symbol of your blood that was shed for each and every one of us, the blood that cleanses us clean. The Lamb of God that shed his blood for us. Take glory, take honor, take praise, Lord Jesus. See in our hearts that we love you and we worship you in unity today. We thank you for this precious meal of remembrance and symbol of unity with you and with one another in the body of Christ. We thank you and we praise you, Lord Jesus. Be glorified in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in and listening. Have an amazing week.